Vision 7 Radio Network welcomes Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, heard every Monday at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Using nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent afterlife evidence, quantum physics, consciousness research, and ancient writings, we seek to understand who and what we are, how reality works, the nature of God, and the meaning and purpose of our lives. Join Roberta weekly to better understand our one reality and gain insights into how we can make the most of the glorious eternal beings that we are.
Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes and I'm so glad you can be with us today. One of the things I love most about traveling is that I meet so many interesting people. And these people often have strong passions for things that, frankly, I've never given 2 seconds thought to. And so, therefore, I learn so much from them. And one of the people whose passion for his subject, frankly, I admire most is Vincent James. With his wife, Joanne Pierdomenico, he has been making music, teaching music, and in every way making the power of music the beautiful mission of his life for more than 30 years. Now, if you're wondering what music has to do with the afterlife and the greater reality, you should know that actually music is even more important to the people there than it is to us here, believe it or not. I'll tell you more about that today. Early in my study of those, you know, century-old communications from the people we used to think were dead, the really great ones that came through the deep trance mediums, it became clear to me, and this was almost right away, that music is extremely big in the afterlife. And back then, all music there was live. That's all they had. In fact, they were insulted if you asked them if anything could be played there after death. I'd like to be able to hear that early Beatles. Nah, you can't. It's all live. I'm not sure that's true now, though, because we now know, quite to our surprise, that there maybe because we've had some of the 20th century tech titans already transition. There's a lot of stuff they're doing electronically now there that we never knew about before. So who knows? Maybe now you can have a hologram of your favorite early Beatles right in your house anytime you want. I have no idea. That's not been a focus of mine. But in point of fact, music remains very important to them. And there's interesting stuff about music that I'm not sure I've ever told you about. And I'm going to use this opportunity talking with Vincent, who actually shares my interest in the afterlife, to talk about it. He and his wife, Joanne, are the authors of a powerful book called 88 Plus Ways Music Can Change Your Life. They're also founders of the nonprofit organization Keep Music Alive. Their mission is to promote the value of music in children's education, in therapy, and in the world, just to advance our happiness as a society. And they've launched 2 international music holidays called Teach Music Week and Kids Music Day. They've partnered with hundreds of music schools in the U.S., Canada, and really all over the world to offer free lessons to new students, to hold events celebrating kids playing music, and just to help adults, too, just generally to help all of us adopt music as a core of our own ways of life as well. Vincent, you're doing such a great job. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you, Roberta. Thanks so much. It's great to be here with you.
We've been talking about doing this for a long time, Vincent and I, but it's been hard to get our schedules to connect. First, what I'd like you to do is just talk briefly about why it is music is such an obsession for you. How did that start?
That's a really good question, Roberta. You know, I go way back. You know, I think it started in elementary school. I was probably in fourth grade. And it's a funny story is, you know, in fourth grade in our elementary school, we were able to, you know, pick an instrument we wanted to learn how to play. So I came home the first day and I told my parents, you know, and I'd really like to learn how to play the guitar. And they said, no. So I went back to school. I went back to school the next day and came home that afternoon and said, you know, I'd really love to learn how to play the drums. And they said, no, even louder.
Right.
We are not shaking the house with drums. So we settled on the trombone in the fourth grade. And from there, you know, I ended up learning eventually piano and guitar later and singing. And music has just really been such a core part of me. I can't even explain it. When I was a child, when I would be with my friends, I would walk around humming and singing things. And, we'd be talking, having conversations, and I would sing the answers back to them. They could kind of drove them crazy.
Wow. Well, everyone, as you listen, just remember when your children have something they really want to do, it's a good idea to encourage it, because Vincent was obviously, looking at how his life has turned out, was obviously following the cues from his guide to do what he had planned to do in this lifetime. So even though your parents were not hot on it, clearly you were able to survive that and still do this as well.
Yes.
Now, I'd like to talk in the beginning a little bit about the afterlife in music, because a lot of people, I think, don't realize just how essential music is in the afterlife. So I know you have some ideas on this, and then I'll share mine as well based on my research. And let's really just talk about the afterlife in music.
Yes, yes. You know, it's always been fascinating to me, Roberta. And, you know, we've been doing some reading and researching and talking to people. And now, a lot of what, you know, people have talked about is when they hear music, when they've had a near-death experience, which is when, obviously, when, you know, your body has died and you're dead for a period of seconds or minutes. And I think it's about half the people that have had those experiences actually say that they've heard music, you know, during that time period.
What kind of music do they,
you know,
talk about?
Yeah, they talk about hearing music like a new age style music, even synthesized music, which I thought that was kind of funny. I would think more like real instruments. And they also talk about the music being beyond what you hear with your ears. I mean, our whole body really receives energy. And you hear music with more than your ears. And in fact, the whole deaf community will talk to you, you know, can tell us more about that.
Right.
But, you know, and during these experiences, they hear, they feel the music more than they can say that they're hearing it. And these experiences that they've had often affect, you know, what they do in their lives, as you know, when they come back.
Yes, I've heard that as well, that they hear what we think of as almost the music of the spheres, is what it's called in Christianity. They're this extraordinary celestial music. I heard it myself at the age of 20 when, and it's hard to even describe, in my second experience of light, there was music as part of it. And all I can say, it was like a million tiny bells ringing in harmony, making music, but it didn't sound like anything earthly. That's why it sounds to some maybe like a synthesizer. Really, it's you can't say, well, yeah, there was bass, there was violin. You can't say anything like that. It's entirely new, and really quite beautiful. You, when you hear it, you know it's not from the world.
Yes, and there's been people that when they've come back, they, you know, particularly if they were a musician before, when they come back from that experience, they try to recreate music that they've heard, you know, during that experience. And then when they've done that, and sometimes they'll play it for other people that have had, you know, NDE, you know, near-death experience, and will sometimes bring them to tears when they hear music that's like they connect with it, what they heard when they were during, you know, having that experience.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And the thing is, in the afterlife, people are obsessed with music. I was really surprised by this in the beginning, and I'll just tell you quickly what came from those very earliest communications that I heard. These are people who died at the end of the 19th or at the very start of the 20th century, so they've been dead for more than 100 years. Back then, most of the people who were communicating with us had lived in poverty, and they hadn't, if they had heard music at all in their lifetimes, they had heard, of course, very little, and they didn't know how to play music. So they were having so much fun, because there you can go to a concert anytime you like. Please listen to this, everyone, because this is amazing. There are huge amphitheaters, you know, you think of the open amphitheaters in Rome and Greece, where orchestras, beautiful orchestras, are playing. These are people who were, I guess, musicians in life, and now they're playing together. Some of the music is written by Mozart and other major earthly composers. If you decide you want to go, if you basically put out an intention, I want to go and hear Mozart's next concert, You'll be transported there the minute it starts. You'll be front row center. Everybody will be front row center because, of course, there's no space there. And the music, they say, is as Vincent just said, we hear with our whole bodies there, and we hear so much better. They say you have never heard music on Earth. You only really hear it when you're there, and it's beautiful. And it is so extraordinary that as the orchestra plays, there are colors that begin to move above the orchestra caused by the music, forming and then unforming again in colors, in shapes. They say it's being at a concert there is the most extraordinary thing you have ever experienced. So that's what reason they love music. What we have here is just a pallid, you know, shade of it. We have no idea what real music is like till we go home. So that's all exciting, Vincent, don't you think?
Yeah, that's, you know, extremely enlightening. And I'm thrilled to hear that because as a, you know, the passion I have for music here on Earth, you know, I always hope that, you know, someday when I go up there in the afterlife, that I'll be able to experience the beauty and passion of music, you know, forever.
You will. If that's what you want, you will. And back then, this was a big thing because the people then had been poor. They didn't know how to play instruments. So some of them would say things like, oh my goodness, you learn music so easily here. I'm taking piano lessons from Mozart or Beethoven or something. And I don't know if it really was who they were, but that's what they wanted. So that's what they got. And they, I mean, when children will be born as prodigies, they'll learn music very easily. It's not a wonder why. They were part of those people, that group, who in the early part of the 20th century and even thereafter were trying so hard to make up for the fact that they never got to learn to play an instrument here. They learned it there, and they learned it from the big guys. So when they come back, they can very easily learn to play music now. To me, I wish we had talked sooner about all of this because I think this is very important. People imagine that in heaven you're just going to be sitting at a throne and playing a harp. Whatever you want to do, whichever instrument you are desperate to learn, when you get there, you'll be able to learn it and learn it right away because you have access to your full eternal mind. So your mind is so much more powerful. One of the many ways that the people who have recently died basically assure us of their survival is with music. What do you know about these signs?
Well, sometimes, you know, you'll have a loved one that's passed and, you know, you might be cleaning out their items, you know, belongings, going through their room, different things. And, you know, a radio will turn on or a TV will turn on just at the moment at a certain song that connects both of you together will start to play. It's interesting. We spoke with a woman who was clearing out her friend's house, who was a dear friend, and he was a huge fan of Gone with the Wind and used to do presentations all around the country presenting topics from Gone with the Wind. And there was a music box they picked up, and as they put it down, even though the music box was off and they confirmed that it was still off afterwards, the music box started to play the theme from Gone with the Wind just at that time. And her and her son were both there and experienced that. And she knew that at that point that it was her friend Paul talking to her at that moment.
Yeah, there's some very good music box signs that I've heard. One was a music box that had been owned by someone, just a friend that someone had, you know, really cared about. And he had died and he had left the music box to her. And it was just sitting in a cabinet. It had no batteries. It was basically dead. She didn't even know what the song was. Mm-hmm. But she walked into that room one day and that with no batteries, that music box started to play. And I think it played Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which is a beautiful kind of song for someone who had been alive and now is in the other reality to send you. I mean, Somewhere Over the Rainbow is where he was now. And this woman could not stop telling me this story. I mean, this kind of thing happens much more than we realize. Common story. About this. These are common. Someone who was married for 30 or 40 years will walk into an elevator and the muzak will suddenly switch to whatever song they danced to on their at their wedding.
Oh, wow. I'm getting chills.
Yes. I mean, it happens in drugstores, too. You walk into the drugstore, there's Muzak, and suddenly you're hearing a song that was important to you and your loved one who has recently died. And I know a woman who had that happen three different times, walking into three different drugstores on three different days. There's no way that's a coincidence.
No.
Because, in fact, Mikey Morgan, who's a very advanced being, told us that it's actually not hard for them to do because they're living outside reality and outside time. So they know what's about to happen, and they can easily manipulate recorded music. It's harder if they're manipulating a DJ, but if the music is recorded, apparently they can do whatever they want with it. So that's just a fact. Pay attention to what's going on around you if you've recently had a loved one transition, because this is a very good, easy way for them to get information to us about the fact that they're just fine, and accept it as a wonderful hug, because that's what it is.
Yeah, because music, you know, can really touch us, you know, I think from the inside out, you know.
Yes.
To our soul. And I think that's why music is one of the most important signs that our loved ones, you know, can give us.
Yeah. Actually, it's fairly easy for them to give as well. If they themselves are not as advanced spiritually as perhaps they wish they were, there are experts who make practice. Mikey is one of them, of helping people who have just transitioned and know that this would be a good way to make their presence still known to their loved one. There are experts who will help them to manipulate whatever's going to be going on in 10 minutes or whenever they're going to be on the road. So the first thing they hear when they turn on the radio is that favorite song, even if that's not the kind of song that's commonly played.
It's
just suddenly they thought they'd play a golden oldie. It's really, it's really, really amazing. So, all right, let's talk about music in general. I mean, my music is music of the 60s and 70s. Everybody sort of has their own era. And now it's rap and that sort of thing. To me, it's somewhat jarring, but how does it change what you would have to say about the spiritual nature of music?
Well, every new generation has their music that they become attached to, and they often say, or they will say, you know, research shows that the music that we love when we were, say, in our teens and young adults, good life, is the music that we kind of hold on to for the rest of our lives. That's going to be the music that we remember. You know, that's the music that's going to wake us up, you know, when we're in a nursing home and someone's playing that style of music. It's what's going to bring us back. And the music, you know, the rap music, hip hop music today, while it's not my personal favorite, you know, it's something that is reaching many of the young people today. And as long as it has positive messages in it, whether they're spiritual or just positive in nature, you know, I think it's a great thing that people are finding new forms of music to connect with.
What kinds of instruments are children who are interested in music? What kinds of instruments resonate with them now? Do they still want to play piano like me, or are they more into who knows what else, keyboards and synthesizers?
Well, I think piano and guitar and violin always seem to remain favorites among kids and adults, though electronic music being so popular now, we have kids making music that never touch an instrument. They'll use computers and the sounds that are available to them to create music. And I'm not sure where that's going to go or what that means for the future of music, but it's a whole new way that kids are experiencing both listening and creating music.
I mean, it's reassuring to hear they still want to play music, because it does take – it's something that they have to learn. And this I tend to think of them as kind of the instant gratification society. I mean, we tried to have my grandchildren learn. Of course, I tried to have my children learn, and they never stuck with it. But they just don't seem to have the kind of perseverance there were in other – how do you keep them interested? Children, how do you keep them interested in music?
Well, it's funny. I have an interesting story. Our oldest daughter, for years, I tried to get her to sit at the piano for, you know, more than 5 minutes at a time. You know, here, Daddy teaches piano. Let me show you. Free piano lessons. And it just never, you know, she just was never that interested. And then finally one day as a teen, she was probably 16, 17 years old. She's in high school. And she discovered she could put her iPhone up on the piano, pull up the chords for her favorite song. Daddy could just show her a few chords, and next thing you know, she's playing and singing her favorite songs.
Oh.
And she was hooked. I mean,
isn't that wonderful? Yeah, well, that's a good idea, actually, because, you know, doing finger exercises is not something that seems to relate to the world. But if you get to play your favorite song, that's a great thing. So is she doing better now?
Oh, she'll use the music playing the piano as merely as therapy. Whether she's had a good day or a bad day, she'll come up and, you know, oftentimes we'll sit at the piano and start to play. And again, pull up chords from songs or ones that she remembers because she's played them enough times now. And she's just expressing herself. And, you know, if she had a rough day, it's helping her ease, you know, the pain of the day. Or if she had a happy day, she's, you know, playing something a little happier, joyful. And it definitely has, I think, made a difference in her life.
That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. I mean, especially if it's something you enjoy, it's wonderful to be. I have a daughter who loves horses, and I've been a horse person since I was 5. And it's nice to have that. It still connects us, even though she has children of her own who are now starting to learn about horses. Anything that we can share across the generations is wonderful for bonding.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you know about the afterlife or the greater reality and music that you want? We want to be sure we share before we go and talk about music today.
Yes. Well, you know, it's interesting where, you know, to me, it's curious, and I don't really have the answers to how music, you know, you can be somewhere in your home or wherever you are. There's a gentleman that was at a Fort Mifflin in our local Philadelphia area, where you hear music being played from out of the air, and you know it's not coming from some earthly source. It's being come with something that's connected to the location. Or you're in the house that, you know, a piano player used to live in, and then you're hearing piano music coming from out in the air. And I don't have any science to tell you how that's possible, how the energy crosses realms. But to me, that's just amazing.
That's what we sometimes think of as a thought fragment or an energy fragment. And I'm not surprised at all, because music is such an emotional thing. It does connect with us. But it isn't that there's a ghost playing the music, everyone. It's that because that music was once played there and there was tremendous emotion attached to it, the emotion is the key. Because emotion, believe it or not, is what animates the universe. I know we think of it as an artifact. It's not. It's central. So if there's something very emotional that was attached to music being played at a certain place or time, you'll have a fragment there, sometimes forever. This also happens with things like people who will go into a monastery and they'll see what looks like a group of monks walking, and they're actually walking below the floor. That's where their feet are. You can't see their feet because, of course, the floor has been renewed in the last 400 years. And so they're still walking on that ancient floor, but they're not ghosts. This is a thought fragment of a very emotionally powerful time. So it's exciting to hear you're hearing people who actually have that experience, because I would predict it. It's not surprising.
Well, it's what some of us kind of refer to, or we've heard of, as a residual energy that's just kind of playing back.
Yes, that's what happens. But the key is that it's attached to a tremendous amount of emotion.
Right.
What is it about music?
Well, music is something that, you know, we've learned over time just how important it is to help develop, you know, number one, to help develop our children, both, you know, educationally, help develop, you know, their social habits. It helps develop, you know, them become more disciplined, persistence, all the qualities, you know, that will help us be more successful as adults. I mean, I often say that, you know, our mission for Keep Music Alive, our nonprofit, we're not trying to turn, you know, everyone into becoming a professional musician. What we're trying to do is give them the best opportunity of success in their life later on, no matter what career field that they choose. And this music education, you know, playing in groups, whether it's, you know, band, chorus, jazz band, rock bands, whatever it is, it's another team, communal activity. And these experiences are going to help them be more successful in life. And that's really the why of why we do this.
Yeah, one of the things, I remember a few years back, there was someone who was called a tiger mother, and the things she had her children do almost seems sadistic to me. But one of the things that made sense was they had to learn music, and they had to practice music quite a bit. And I can see how that would build discipline and resolve and a sense of, you know, growth and achievement. There's so many things that would come out of, for example, learning to play the piano or the violin and starting when you're really young, which is when she started hers. I mean, doesn't that seem to make a difference in developing people's minds and their attitudes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the research has shown that when we're playing music, we're connecting the two sides of our brain in a way that almost no other activity we do as humans can do. And it's funny, you know, you talk about the tiger mom and, you know, and many parents, you know, forcing their kids to play music. You know, I speak to many, many adults and they'll talk about their experiences as a child, how they, you know, were like forced to play music. And while some of them, you know, will relate that, you know, they hated it at the time, but yes, now they realize, you know, later in their adult life of that they really appreciated that they were given that opportunity and how much they believe that it's helped them throughout their life. So, and, you know, it's funny is the just the experiences that you have as a child, you don't often realize how important they are to your benefit until you're older.
Yes, and I guess many parents are losing that sense that they need to impart discipline and teach their kids to do things that maybe they don't feel like doing at the moment. I think parents may be a bit too free now. I mean, as the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, we want to establish those habits in our children. That's one thing from the Bible I like. We really do need to establish the right habits, and children really will then stick with them. So how is music used in therapy?
Well, there are many different ways that music is used in therapy, whether it's to help treat stress or mental, emotional, or behavioral problems, and depression even. I mean, one example is like kids with autism, you know, where they use music therapy with the kids both inside the home or maybe outside location. And music will oftentimes help draw an autistic child out of their inner shell and help them start communicating in a way, both with the person providing the therapy and their families in ways that prior to that they weren't really opening up and communicating. And that's, and it's because music is reaching into a part of them as a human being, which they are, to draw that out. So definitely, you know, kids with autism are very positively affected by music. There's an interesting thing, symptom of some strokes called aphasia, where people can sing a sentence, but they can no longer talk.
Really?
So,
wow.
Which I thought was like amazing. So they can sing a sentence, but they cannot speak it. And they have a treatment that they use now where they sometimes, not always, but sometimes are able to walk them back from singing into speaking again.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Which to me, when I heard that, I was like, you've got to be kidding. Really? Tell me more. this is amazing.
Wonderful. It really is. And so when they're using therapy with children, say, who are autistic or something, are they teaching them to play? Are they playing the music? Are they playing games to the music? How do they use that music with children?
I think you hit on all three things. Yes, sometimes they're teaching them to learn how to play an instrument, or which is beneficial to autistic children, just like it is for children that don't have autism. They're playing musical games, which is getting, you know, the music and movement is helping them, again, you know, communicate and come express themselves in ways that they aren't able to otherwise. Or playing music, you know, listening to different music and getting their reaction and finding out, you know, just like adults, you know, kids, whether they're autistic or not, respond better to certain music than other music. And, you know, discover what is it that really gets this child going, you know, what lights up their eyes, what gets them starting to talk. And just by that experimentation, you can start to figure that out.
It's exciting that it makes a way. I'm not surprised, because it is one of the things that's wonderful about music is that it is by its very essence emotional. We all know that.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
We listen to music and it affects our emotions. And as I said before, emotion is what drives the universe. Consciousness is governed by emotion. Fear at the bottom, love at the highest vibration. And so anything that we can do that will raise our consciousness vibration actually raises the vibration of the entire planet. So what Vincent is doing may seem to be somewhat peripheral, but it isn't. It's central, because the more people he reaches and helps them learn how to use music to raise their personal vibration, the more he does that, the more he is helping us all to raise the vibration of the planet away from fear and toward love, which is the emergency situation in which we now find ourselves. So he's really a practitioner of one of the skills that is going to transform the world, that you can't transform it with any activity based in fear. And the more I think about it, Vincent, you're doing a wonderful thing because you're really, really helping people raise their emotions. What wonderful thing.
Thank you. And you're actually helping me see this in a whole new light. I mean, you're talking about emotion being the key. And I see, you know, music as, you know, emotional energy that's going out into the world.
That it is. We will be talking in, I don't know, a few weeks. We'll talk again about the necessity of raising the planet's vibration. I mean, this is very serious. I know I talk about it as if it weren't, but this is like the central need that we have now. And I'll have our wonderful friend Craig Hogan back to talk about it, since he knows more about all this than any of us do. But meanwhile, just know that having Vincent here is really central to the work we're doing with Seek Reality, because the reality he's helping us find is the true reality that has been hidden from us because we have been so negative for so long. And all right, so you talk about one of the things you talk about is using music all day long, programming your day around music. What would that be like?
Well, you know, we all have different situations during our day where, you know, we're either stressed out or we need to get psyched up to do something. And what I like to encourage people to do is to create a couple of playlists. You know, you have music, one playlist I call the calming playlist. This music that, you know, whether it's classical music or other instrumental music, music that calms you. And then you have another playlist you create, a music that pumps you up. And then, you know, whether we're driving to work and we need to get pumped up for a presentation at work, and we click on our, you know, instead of listening to whatever the radio is playing, you know, choose intentionally what songs you want to hear that's going to get you in the frame of mind that you want to be. Or if you've had like a really bad day at work, you know, and you're coming home and, you know, you have stress driving in your commuter, you got to drive an hour each way or whatever it is, you know, put on that calming playlist that you created for yourself and let the music relax you and just make that ride home so much more enjoyable. And you, that way, when you get home to your spouse and your children, you know, you're in a much better mental state to enjoy them than you would be otherwise.
Wow, that's actually common sense, isn't it? A lot of music that's played off radio, and I don't even care what kind of music it is, a lot of it is designed to, you know, rev us up. And even the DJs try to be exciting, but that's not what we need a lot of the time. A lot of the time, we need to be just centered in our space. And so if it's familiar music that you love that helps you center, you're absolutely right. Take control of your own playlist. Don't allow the world to control what you hear and what you see. In fact, I would take it further. I think it's very important that we all stop allowing TV to control what goes on in our minds. I gave up watching television 10 years ago, and you would not believe I have never missed it. Never for one day have I missed it. But instead, I do listen to music I love. I listen to podcasts. I talk to people I care about, and it makes me so much happier. And that's when I learned that there's, especially now when the news is all so negative, there's no value to be gained anymore from allowing the world to control us. And one of the things Vincent and his wife are doing is helping us learn how to take control of our emotions, the central driver of the universe, and to do it using music. We haven't even talked about your book yet. I've already decided I'm going to have Joanne back in a little while, and she'll talk about the book because we have much more even to talk about. One of the things that I'd like to talk about when we come back is when you reach a certain age, can you no longer learn music? Because I've always wanted to play the piano. Finally, when my kids were starting to get a little bit older, I decided I'm going to learn to play the piano, and I failed miserably.
No, you didn't. Come on. What I think is important, you know, when you're trying to learn, say, piano or even guitar as an adult, is that we pick songs and we pick, you know, versions of songs and pieces that will be more accessible to us. I mean, I know when I first started learning to play classical piano as a younger child, you know, there'd be the easy piano version of songs that you would start with.
That's great. That's a good idea.
But I recommend for adults a lot of times is learning through, you know, popular songs, whether they're standards or current, you know, more current, learning to play chords and singing along. It's funny. I have my one guitar student didn't start learning to play guitar until he was 80 years old.
Oh, my goodness. I wasn't that old.
I know.
I was in my 40s when I failed. So that's too bad. I know you hate it when I say that. But I think the reason was that I wasn't used to it. I did practice, but I was only doing chords. No one said, "Here, I'm gonna. You're gonna be able to play this song." If someone had said, "Let's play this song," I think it would have been something I would have stuck with. But I gave it up after about 5-6 months. Because it was like, where was I going with this? So it may have been the teacher. I'd love to think it was, but I do promise you that as soon as I get to where we're all going before long, I'm going to find Mozart. I'm going to say, "All right, I'm ready to learn now."
Oh, you're going to learn from the master.
Yes, because the reason it's so easy to learn there is that we right now have access to maybe less than 5% of our eternal minds. Right after we go home, we access everything. We're suddenly we feel so much smarter. And in fact, we can learn just about anything so much more easily there. So I'll learn there. I mean, I can wait. It's going to be okay.
There's still time here now. Come on.
All right. So let's talk just briefly about your book, 88 Plus Ways Music Can Change Your Life. What's that about and why did you write it?
So it's a funny story. It was about 4 years ago when I got the inspiration, and I won't go into the long version of it, but I got this inspiration for creating a book series about inspirational music stories from people all around the world. So we reached out to literally over 6,000 musicians, both regular folks and celebrities, asking if they had a story they would like to contribute. And that's how the volume one of the book series came about. And, you know, we were just amazed at all these different experiences that people had, whether it helped them through, you know, as a child, bullying, whether they were playing music in a nursing home and saw somebody light up from the back of the room and start singing these Broadway songs with them. And previously the person was catatonic, heads down. Just so many incredible experiences. And we were so overjoyed by the experience that we're now looking for stories for volume two for 88 Plus Ways Music Can Change Your Life. So if they reach out to us through the 88waysmusic.com, they can submit a story and possibly have it included in the future.
That's exciting. Okay, so what are the websites? I know you have a couple.
So for the nonprofit Keep Music Alive, which is where we do Kids Music Day in October and Teach Music Week in March, it's keepmusicalive.org. And then for the book series, it's 88waysmusic.com.
Okay, and then there's one other website which I really want you to talk a little about, because Vincent loves music so much and loves people so much that he brings them together deliberately. He will write songs for your special occasions. It's called lovesongs.com. I don't know how you ever got that title, but talk about that. What are you doing with that website?
So it's funny. I was probably in my 20s. Or maybe it was my early 30s, I can't remember, where I kind of realized that all this music I liked to listen to was one thing, but the music that I was best at and enjoyed creating the most was love songs. You know, the old, you know, whether it's Barry Manilow to Lionel Richie to Michael Bolton, you know, some people call him sappy, you know, but it's kind of who I am.
And, thank you for admitting it. I'm sappy too, so it makes two of us. And I think, Sam, you are too. He's our engineer.
So I just had this idea, well, what if I, you know, offer to create love songs for other people, whether it's for a wedding, whether it's for an anniversary, you know, it could be a parent's anniversary, it could be for Valentine's, whatever special occasion, even if it's not a special date or something where people want to reach out and express their feelings through an original song that's written especially for them. And only for them, you know, as you know, the music touches people in a very special way. And you should see the people light up when they, you know, the recipient of the song light up when they hear their song for the very first time.
I'm sure. Do they get some sort of an MP3 or something of the song so they can play it whenever they'd like to?
Yes, they actually get a custom web page at lovesongs.com that has, you know, the picture of them and their loved one, and then the lyrics for the song, and then the song is playing, you know, on the webpage.
Oh, my goodness. You really do it upright. Oh, wow. So that's another thing that Vincent can do for you. Vincent is the kind of person, as I said, I've known him for a while, that wants to help you no matter what is going on. It really impresses me that you feel that way, Vincent. Most people do have edges, but you don't seem to have one. And I'm amazed and delighted to see that.
Well, thank you.
We haven't even started talking about this book, which is delightful. So we're going to shortly have Joanne come on, and she'll talk about the book and what's coming up next for them, because there's a lot more, I now realize, to music than I ever gave it credit. So we're going to talk more about music on Seek Reality. I'm so glad you were with us. Vincent, please consider yourself hugged. I'm delighted that we got to spend this time together.
Oh, thank you, Roberta. It's been a joy for me as well. Thank you so much.
Now, as you know, everyone, this is Roberta Grimes. We're on Seek Reality, and I'm thrilled that you could be with us today. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. I know I say that every week, but that's something it's hard to believe living in our day-to-day lives. You are a powerful, eternal being. You never began. You never will end. And when you really get that, let me just tell you from personal experience, it transforms everything in your life for the better. Next week, we're going to be talking for the second time with the wonderful British researcher Lynn McTaggart. I think of her seminal book, which is The Field, as one of the most important things I have ever read, especially as I was trying to put together the physics of the greater reality. Lynn's research and her understanding are extraordinary, and her ability to make these big, big concepts make sense to people is really without peer. She visited us last fall to talk about her 2017 book, The Power of Eight, Harnessing the Miraculous Energies of a Small Group to Heal Others, Your Life, and the World. I recommend this book strongly because it's just unbelievable, but it's true. We hardly scratched the surface last time, so we promised each other we would do this again, and this is the first chance we've had to really do it. Lynn plans to be with us again next week to help us further explore the extraordinary powers of our minds, especially when we link them together in an intention. Of course, this week, our guest has been Vincent James. It really surprises me now to realize that we've never explored music on Seek Reality. We're going to do a lot more of that. Music is central to human life, both here and in the afterlife levels, and it's probably one of the most effective ways to raise our personal vibration, which helps us and which really, really helps the world now that it's in such a terrible state. Vincent and his wife, Joanne Pierre-Domenico, are the authors of 88 Plus Ways Music Can Change Your Life, and they're founders of the nonprofit organization Keep Music Alive. Music is their life and their world, and when you spend time with Vincent, you can see that they make a wonderful, wonderful job of helping people to become just as excited about music as they are. I recommend that you just go to lovesongs.com to see what he's doing with Love Songs. I didn't realize until we talked today that he was doing that, and nobody better to write your love song than Vincent, for sure. The ways in which music enriches our lives, both here and in eternity, are endless, and people don't give music sufficient credit for doing what it does. We'll be talking more about this with music directly, but also about the need for all of us to raise our vibrations, because the hour is late, the earth is in intensive care spiritually, and since spiritual energy is the only energy there is, that's a pretty serious situation for us to be in. We're told we're going to be able to fix it, but let's each do what we can. And music is a wonderful place to start. As you know, my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, The Fun of Living Together for Young Children, The Fun of Meeting Jesus, and soon to come out, The Fun of Growing with Jesus, which is going to be about the death of a pet and how to deal with it. You can order these books through bookstores or on Amazon.com, and the adult books are available as audiobooks. If you want to talk about my books or about anything at all, please don't forget, just go to the contact block at robertagrimes.com, and I answer every email, provided you give me your right address. Some people don't do that. But remember, too, that past episodes of Seek Reality are available on webtalkradio.net, on iTunes, through the Seek Reality app that's free in the iTunes store, and at Dream Vision 7 Radio. These wonderful people will replay all of this a year later, and they just do a superb job. I can't say enough good about them. If you ever wonder where I am, just go to robertagrimes.com and click the radio tab. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and please make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you, in particular, are a powerful, eternal being, and you, more than anyone else on earth, you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.